What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on The Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new champion.
And I'm better than you,
and you know it.
DMD.
Acknowledge me.
I'm hurt, and I'm old, and I'm tired, and I work with children.
Well, ding dong, hello.
Embrace the vision.
And we want the smoke.
Lately, he just hasn't been very oozy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Wednesday Worldwide.
Worldwide?
A proud member of the faction known as the Ringer Wrestling Show. My name is Ben Cruz, and I'm a producer here at the Ringer. With me, as always, are my tag team partners, senior editor at theringer.com, Cal Davenport, and of course, the super producer here at the Ringer, Mr. Brian H. Waters. My guys, happy Elimination Chamber week. Oof. What a time to be French Canadian. My God, how are you guys doing?
I'm all right, man. I didn't realize it was that. I mean, it's going to be an interesting weekend with that and with Mercedes Moné coming through. But right. I guess I just saw Sammy in the Canadians. He was at a game.
He was at the game. He's playing, which I thought you'd enjoy.
I need to get a
staunch hockey jersey wearer. Yeah,
I love the jersey. Now that was, I don't know if that's the reverse or what. It was a hard look nonetheless.
Yeah, no, it was a great spot and easy pop. Easy pop for our guy Sammy in Montreal at a Canadiens game. Yeah,
his hair and beard matched the hair on the mascot. That's the first image I saw on Instagram. I'm like, wait, what's going on?
That's right. It's flowing in all its gloriousness.
It's the road to WrestleMania. Oof. I'm excited. You know, a lot of people have been saying, oh, that's not the premium live event. No, this is it. Like, this has this feeling because, and I know we'll get into it, but with this whole Sammy and Roman and the bloodline, we don't know which way this is going to go. SmackDown, Raw, it must see television every week. And therefore, this Saturday, which I'm glad it's on a Saturday because I can actually enjoy the All-Star game. That's the Sunday, right?
Yeah.
The game is Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so I can enjoy that for what it is. So it's, man, let's get started. Yeah, this is my favorite time of year. You know how they have seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall? Mine is Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and WrestleMania.
I love it. I love it.
There we go. Cal alluded to it earlier. We got the big New Japan card this weekend here in San Jose. My hometown, which I'll be missing, unfortunately, but it's gonna be a banger regardless. Before we kind of get to the rest of the show, did want to pay our respects and say rest in peace to Jerry Jarrett, who unfortunately passed away this week. Guys, any thoughts on one of the, you know, trailblazers in kind of the wrestling world?
I mean, you know, if a lot of the blueprint, I think, for pro wrestling on TV arguably came from Memphis, and a lot of that Memphis television was in part to what Jerry Jarrett was doing. You know how we do at The Ringer, so don't be surprised if you see some words about Jerry Jarrett showing up on TheRinger.com soon.
Okay.
But, you know, in some of the stuff I've been working on before we hopped on, it's interesting to see how, I mean, you mentioned Trailblazer, like the scaffold match. That was a Jerry Jarrett original. You know, the idea of the empty arena matches, people having these crazy food fight brawls in the concession stands, doing things like the 80s were big on like promos that were literal music videos cut to actual songs. Like before Paul Heyman was doing all that stuff, they were, and it was straight 80s. Like if you go and look for the Fabulous Ones promo on there, they're definitely, I don't know, you know, Chippendale-esque type stuff. Like they made sure that their characters were characters. They weren't just really dope performers because they had to appeal to an audience. So, and of course, you know, it's Jeff Jarrett's father. That's the USWA. Right. I mean, right. You know, without Jerry Jarrett, there'd be no Impact because he was the one that started NWA TNA, which eventually became Impact Wrestling. So yeah, there's a lot that you could credit to Jerry Jarrett if you're a pro wrestling fan. Currently, there's a lot that he definitely pioneered for the sport of professional wrestling, especially as on a televised, you know, episodic weekly medium.
Right.
Yeah, the thing I know about Jerry Jarrett, mainly hearing the stories from people like Bruce Pritchard, especially the fact that he was supposed to be the guy who would have ran WWE if Vince McMahon had went to prison for the steroid trial. And that right there just kind of let me know the significance of him and what his contributions to the business. Got a chance to see and hear him tell the stories on the territories series that The Rock has produced. And so, you know, a great contribution. I always like to say that when wrestlers or promoters bless us with their children, that's an incredible contribution. Like, I think as good as Rikishi is, his biggest contribution to the business is the Usos. And
I like that.
And the same thing you could say for Jerry Jarrett. I mean, a legend in Jeff Jarrett. So, and I think, as you know, I know as a father, no matter what I do, if you tell me my greatest contribution to anything was my children, I'd be happy.
Exactly.
That's a winner. That's a winner right there. All fantastic thoughts and words from you guys. Appreciate you guys sharing that. Rest in peace again to Jerry Jarrett, and you know, sending love, thoughts to the entire Jarrett family. So let's kick things off here on Wednesday Worldwide. It's time for some high spot headlines. You guys know the deal. I'm going to read out some of the biggest headlines of the week, and whoever wants to tag in and let some thoughts fly, please let it fly. So first up, Dax Harwood posts a seemingly harmless Instagram photo with a WWE contract in the corner. Are we seeing the return of the revival in WWE?
I like the sound of it. It's funny because stuff like this with what he's doing with the FTR podcast, it could just be him pulling up some paperwork to reference on an episode when he's talking about another match or what have you. But with the way that the air around the future FTR feels, this looks like my type of, you know, sly little tease that, hey, maybe I'm going over to see if the grass is finally greener on that other side I was at a couple years ago.
See, Cal, you would be the smart one. Because all week, I never thought about, maybe it's just for the podcast, or maybe it's just a reference. You know, I saw it and I said, okay, maybe a teaser, maybe they just doing something, and I left it alone. Right. And then I come to Wednesday Worldwide, and here's Cal with all this intelligence.
I'm sorry.
It could be the podcast.
He's crushing dreams. He's crushing our dreams, Brian.
A wise man always told me that it's always a work. So I always assume, it's a work, and then try and play well. That try and pull back everything to uncover if it's actually real or not. I'm not.
Life is a work. He's right. Cal's right. Life is a work.
Facts. Look at the Super Bowl. But you know,
okay.
Everybody's still feeling that pain. I see.
This is a hold, guys.
But in all seriousness, you know, I think it would be cool to see them back. Mm-hmm. I know they love tag team wrestling, but to see the lack of booking that they had at AEW. And you know what? I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to say the lack of recent booking, because if you really think about it, we've gotten pretty much all the dream matches out of there. You know, thank God right. we was able to get the matches with the Briscoes, mm-hmm. rest in peace, the Jay. But thank God we was able to get those matches. We got the matches with the Young Bucks. So, we good over there. Come on back mm-hmm. home. Do some different storytelling. Maybe there's something with them in the Bloodline. Maybe there's something with them in the Viking Raiders. And you got Indusher down in NXT who I'm just waiting for them to break out. So, who knows?
I mean, first of all, we need to take classes from Dax on how to promote a podcast because I'm taking notes over here. It's just an incredible, whether this is a troll job or not, mm-hmm. it was just an incredible way to fire up a conversation around you and therefore everything that surrounds you, i.e. his podcast,
right?
Which is already kind of nearing the top of the charts in the wrestling space, which is, you know, incredible. But I mean, if let's say they were to return to WWE, I mean, I'd kind of be all about it because at some point, this Bloodline feud, or this Bloodline storyline, I should say, is going to come to an end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the tag titles have been elevated just by association, right? They're one of the premier prizes in the sport because of their involvement in the storyline. Eventually, that storyline is going to end. And, you know, whether the Usos deviate from the Bloodline or not, I mean, the tag titles are going to have to be raised in importance again, right? Because mm-hmm. there's too often the tag titles get forgotten kind of in the shuffle, right? And I mean, FTR, the Revival, when they come back to WWE is the kind of team that you need and that you want to elevate the status of tag team wrestling. And that's their whole bag, right? Is that tag team wrestling is main event wrestling. Right. And they've proven that over and over again. And to bring that back to WWE, you know, sans a Bloodline storyline, I'm excited for it. If it is going to happen, if this is just a way to promote their podcast, they got us. They got us, guys. And we should all be taking notes on how to promote a wrestling pod. Next up on High Spot Headlines, Seth Rollins says not having main evented WrestleMania bothers him.
I love that. That's the type of attitude you want from a guy who you look at as a top guy. You want him to always have that hunger, fire, and desire. And I know on the Masked Man this past Monday, Kaz talked about when you look at Seth, most of the moments happen to him. You look at WrestleMania 31 before he cashed in, the RKO that went viral happened to him. You know,
right. Yep.
Cody Rhodes coming back, he was in the ring and he was the opponent. I'm waiting for Seth Rollins to get his moment in the light. I mean, but WrestleMania 31, that was a WrestleMania. Me personally, I had very low expectations for. Right. And when that night ended, I said, oh, this is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Because of that moment, I thought he had a great title reign, one that I never got bored with, kind of like the one that Roman is having now. Unfortunately, it ended prematurely due to injury. Mm-hmm. And I felt it took him forever to get back to that. But he's also like, he's got the Macho Man syndrome. He's the guy who's going to go down when you look at the next generation of wrestlers, of independent wrestlers and superstars. Seth Rollins will be their favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm. But when you look at ones that want to be entertainers and superstars, Roman Reigns are going to be their favorite.
I think that's a good point. We're in a weird situation with Seth Rollins. You remember it was when we hit the pandemic, if I'm not mistaken, it was him and Becky. They had that run during the pandemic as champions, you know, running through the entire company, doing mixed tag matches and all that stuff. And then I think he lost the title and it kind of died down. As the Roman Bloodline storyline has been going, there have been these moments between Roman and Seth. I remember one specifically where Seth had it was mostly a white suit, but it had all the color splatters on. It looked like he was really in his Joker mode right there. I thought that's mm-hmm. where we were going to go back then. And I know a lot of people wanted that as well. Since then, Seth has only gotten bigger. I talk about it. Going to Extreme Rules and hearing the way the crowd reacted to him, you would have thought, Matt Riddle was the heel in that match. Now, the last year's storyline, if I'm remembering correctly, was Seth and Kevin Owens trying to figure out how to get into a WrestleMania match, and right. Kevin Owens ended up getting, like, Seth has been grasping for these moments for a bit, and if it was going to happen anytime, there's a big argument for it being happening right now, even though he spent a lot of 2022 losing, but you'd have to go to Cage Match to find that out. I say all this to say it's going to be beautiful when that moment happens. I don't know if it's going to be against Roman or if it's going to be against a Cody Rhodes if he wins a title at some point, but I think the anticipation for Seth finally being in that moment is going to make that moment beautiful. There's just so much going on right now, and you don't really need, like, Seth is, he's in that, he's going to have Macho Man syndrome, but he's also in that Brock Lesnar territory where, like, he doesn't really need a title because he's just that good. He walked out on Raw right. with the mischief boots on. Like, he knows how to get people talking about him. Then he gets in the ring, he knows how to perform. So he's good as long as he's able to continue doing this. And once they're able, because he's one of those things you just have in the chamber. You're just ready to open the door and say, hey Seth, you ready, bro? We need you right now. And then you let him go out there and go crazy. It's there's too many good angles and good storylines going into Mania to throw Seth in there, because that's a complete left turn from what we've been building towards right now.
Right. I mean, first of all, Seth with the mischief boots on Raw, the way that set the internet on fire. Cal, you and I kind of know this a little bit. Mm-hmm. In the shoe game, we'd seen these for weeks.
Weeks, yeah.
Like, oh yeah, that was absurd. So when I saw it on Seth, my mind didn't go to, oh, those are ridiculous shoes. My mind went to, those are $1,000.
Right, yeah. He's wrestling in some insanity right now in his feet. But you know, he's that's the commitment to the character.
Oh, 1,000%. And the great, great stomp that he hit on Miz with
on the Miz.
It looked like a Super Smash Brothers moment right there, just hitting that down B. But I mean, with Seth, kind of when this, he talked about this, right? Or the story came out, initially I had to be like, has he not main evented? That was the first reaction, because that WrestleMania 31 moment of him cashing in, and Cass talked about this on Masked Man as well, It looms so large over his whole career, right? It's one of the best WrestleMania moments ever. It's the best cash-in ever, period, end of sentence. And I think that's why I always associated Seth with, oh, he's main evented. Technically, yeah. He was in the main event. He just wasn't on the marquee and the promo leading up to it, which I think is his point, right? It's just, I've never been that guy who's gotten the end of the card treatment, which is weird because he won the Royal Rumble in 19, right? He was the winner, and he picked Brock. Yeah. He picked Brock to face for the title at WrestleMania, but that match ended up being first.
Yes.
Because at 35, the main event was the triple threat. It was Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky. So
his wife. At that.
His wife. Yeah. His wife got the spot, which, and like, you know, she had won it that year too, and this is back in the day. I'm saying back in the day when WrestleMania was one night, one extremely long night. It was, I remember, 35 was damn near what? It was like 6 hours.
7 hours.
That feels like 10 years ago. Like, what are we talking about?
Right, exactly. One day we're gonna tell our kids about when WrestleMania was one night. And they're gonna think that we're
the 30-some year old stretch where WrestleMania was one night back in the day.
Yeah. They're like, okay, Dad, we're sure it was. You really watched wrestling for 6 hours straight? And you're like, right. Well, kind of. Yeah, and you know, to Brian's point from earlier, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you want to hear from Seth, right? Mm-hmm. You want to hear that he wants that spot, and if you're at the top of your game, why wouldn't you? Man, I mean, the Macho Man thing comparison, it's accurate, but it also kind of bums me out because, I mean, yes, all these years later, like, Macho Man's the cool guy from that era, right? In the Mega Powers, when you watch that breakup now, you're like, I don't know. Macho Man might have been kind of right.
I know that was right.
I know Brian Hogan's your favorite, but when I watch that video back, kind of cool when Macho Man turns on him, and it's kind of the same deal now with Seth and the Shield turn, where you're like, kind of dope. Yeah. Hey, even though in the moment it sucked because you didn't want the Shield to break up. So it makes sense, Seth saying all this, and it's still kind of shocking that it hasn't happened. Right. And I don't know, will it? I think he's been on fire. This mm-hmm. dude's been on fire. The way that they are singing his song is it's one of the more organic things that we've seen mm-hmm. in wrestling as of late. And it's I hope he gets his flowers both, you know, I think he's getting it from the fans now, but I hope he starts to get it from Triple H and everyone else on creative as we
remember.
As
that's
we
why he got
forward.
Traded last week on the Masked Man's trading.
That's
episode.
Right. That's
like,
right.
I'm tired of this.
Yeah, he's going for that main event spot in AEW. People are trade episode. It caused a lot of outrage back on the Masked Man show. Check that out. Last one here on High Spot Headlines. Fans disrespect Bron Breakker by singing "He Sucks" to John Cena's theme song.
What?
I'm just gonna turn it over. I'm just gonna sit back.
Ben is so happy right now. Again, in the dark match phase of this experiment called Wednesday Worldwide, we've had a number of conversations about: does Bron Breakker have it? Is he someone that we think could be the actual future WWE main roster superstar that a large number of the WWE universe thinks that he's destined to be? We've also said, I don't know if we've said it live, but we definitely said it dark, that you can't just have the man have the match and run through the people. Like, he's got to do stuff. Even Sting had to, he couldn't just be the face paint and Stinger splashing and woo and all that stuff. Like, he had to go at some point and get beat up by... Yeah, you got to get dirty. You got to get beat up by somebody. You got to overcome some type of obstacles. And he's not, as champion, he's just been decimating people. He had a little bit of, you know, a couple of steps back, but he always overcomes. And like Super Cena, like, you know, the Roman Reigns era before the Bloodline and stuff, the fans recognize that early and they will turn on that. It's inevitable. So I mean, Shawn and Triple H have something with Bron, but now you gotta take him out of that stage where he is, I think, and start to move him into this more complicated territory so we can really see how he stacks up against people that can pull the rug from under him and make things real nasty for him.
He's already have something that's difficult, and that's being second generation.
Right.
And considering how dynamic, I mean, personally, the Steiner brothers before the Usos was my number one tag team. And I took heat because I put them over the Road Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at like his uncle, Scott, who was able to go out and branch off into his own and become, you know, a superstar in WCW. People are always going to be looking at that. And now, you know, going into this super Bron Breakker. But the promos, like, how can you relate to him? So after a while, I was like, you know what? No, we don't want him anymore, especially when you got a guy like Mello Hayes. But the tall tale was when you had Jinder Mahal, somebody who people rejected as WWE champion, come out there. And literally, you saw him being outclassed. And Jinder was like, that's your problem. You're worried about what these fans think. When he said it's okay for the fans to boo. And I was like, uh-oh. We're in trouble.
It got real. Jinder was spitting facts. I mean, look, I don't want to take a victory lap, so I'm not going to take a massive victory lap here. I will say this. How do we fix Bron Breakker?
That's a good question.
If we're going to do this. Do we give him a mouthpiece? Do we give him a Paul Heyman-esque type person? Because, man, it's really just his promos that really get me. I mean, when you watch this dude in the ring, I get it. He's special. He's a freak athlete, man. And he just, the way that he, when that cage match against Grayson Waller, you know, it was fine, but there were moments in there, like the spears that he hits, the way that he runs the ropes. Like I get it. I really, really do. But then he gets on the mic and he's just yelling. He's yelling the entire time. And it's, I mean, you know, we talk about Cena and Scott Steiner. Again, if Cena was out here in the mid-2000s just rapping his entire career, that shit would have gotten old quick. Mm-hmm. But he pivoted. He actually leaned into being Super Cena, which was fine. I was like, okay, like, you know, all the marks kind of hate it because, you know, we're getting served Cena every single week, but he kind of evolves. You know, Brian brought up Scott Steiner, right? He became Big Papa Pump, and you know, he might have missed a leg day here and there, but he was still entertaining as shit and you know, kissing his biceps, which as a kid I thought were gonna pop whenever he flexed. It freaked me the hell out. But I mean, they gotta help Braun out. They gotta help him out. Whether it's I think the quick answer is it a mouthpiece? I'm genuinely asking you guys at this point.
I think if you give him a mouthpiece, especially a Heyman, that's great, but that means a heel turn, right? Like I don't think you can do all of that and then have him be a babyface unless they can find a quality. I don't know if it's a manager, a valet, whoever, who can guide him while he's still fighting heels. It's going to be hard to have the two work, in my opinion.
I'm seeing a double switch.
Mm. Okay.
As much as I love Melo Hayes as a heel, I think Melo, when you look at the dynamic between them two, Melo being the smaller guy, you imagine if Bron Breakker loses to him. And he tries to show him respect. And then all of a sudden, he just beats him down mercifully. Mm-hmm. And then it's Diesel Bret Hart-esque Survivor Series 95. That's when I think you can have the double switch. Like that also sets up... I'll get in the fantasy book, and I don't want to do that. But it gives Melo a shift, but it also... Because he's, you know, people love him. It gives him the shift, but it also... makes Braun angry and kind of stays at NXT a while he's still developing.
Oh man, I think, up for babyface Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think Brian H. Waters solved it. Honestly, the double turn would make a lot of sense to me.
All right, we're clipping this part out and we're sending it directly to WWE. We're sending it, Sean. Be on the lookout. We've got an email for you.
Ben's your favorite. I mean, you're Ben's favorite, and Sean.
Yeah,
I like producer Sean.
Right. There we go.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What?
There it is. You heard the drop. It's time for They Said What? The three of us have already listened to The Masked Man Show and Cheap Heat, as I'm sure all of you fine listeners have as well, because, well, you're already subscribed to this wonderful feed, but... every week, we get to do something I'm sure that you all wish you could do, which is respond to a take dropped by the likes of the legendary David Shoemaker, Kaz, Peter Rosenberg, or Stat Guy Greg. For this next edition of They Said What, we're going back to back with quite the take from our guy, Kazim Famuyide. Brian, play the clip.
I love the Marine. I love Cena in it. You may have thought that Trainwreck was when you changed. You might have even thought when you faced CM Punk that man was a star. I knew that man was a star when he was jumping out of exploding buildings into water and cursing and doing all types of craziness. I fucking love the Marine. I think I'm not even trolling. I think the Marine is an objectively fun, good action flick.
Okay, we're talking Marine in 2023, which is I didn't know if this was on my bingo card, but let me just read you some facts first before we get into the discussion.
Okay.
The Marine, starring John Cena, 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is honestly a little bit better than what I thought it was going to get, grossed $22.2 million at the box office. I saw some numbers out there that it might have been around the $18 million mark. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to litigate it. It's probably fine. Right. And then with a budget of $15.5 million.
Oh my.
And it's still made money, still positive in the bank accounts there. And it spawned 5 direct to video sequels. Video for the young listeners out there are these tapes that we used to have to use to watch anything, to watch any form of entertainment. All right, guys, with all that being said, what are your thoughts on Kaz's thoughts on John Cena and the Marine?
Well, he said that's what made him a star, not the match with Punk. So right there, it's okay. As somebody who hasn't seen the Marine, but I've seen clips, I could see where he was going.
You haven't seen the Marine?
No.
That's oh, you're missing movies, out, man.
If there was like the movie card, especially like the black movie card, I'm like, the black movie card I'm about halfway through, so I probably have like half a card. But the WWE movies, as big of a fan I am, I've probably seen about a couple. But I haven't seen the Marine. But I could see where Kaz was coming from. My only question was like, it took you that long?
Right. So. Right. And that's even in the video game, like at a certain point, your wrestler's already been established when they get the movie role. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people probably already thought that scene in the movies was clearly in the bingo cards easily for him at that point. But I mean, I can understand it. I had a similar feeling, not when The Rock was in The Scorpion King, but when he came back to the WWF after being in that film, that first time he was in the ring, that crowd was so electric. And you're like, nah, that's a star. Like that's not just WWE over. That's, you know, this man's about to take over the world feeling. So I wouldn't put that on the Marine necessarily, but I can understand, because that's you're seeing Cena being more than just the dude in the ring. He's, you know, he's got to save the day. He's taking care of the people while also beating all the ass. Like, it makes sense.
I mean, I don't hate the take. I understand what Kaz is saying. I mean, this also put. Let's just put it this way: WWE does not just give or put anyone in a position to star in a movie. Mm-hmm. I say that with the caveats of, obviously, Kane was in a movie. Ted DiBiase Jr. was in the sequel. He's in Marine 2.
Right.
And The Miz was in 4, the rest of the Marine.
He was a couple of, yeah.
So maybe they do. But I say that with Cena was, they were kind of crafting him, you felt like, in that Rock mold. Mm-hmm. Where it was, he's going to be the next guy to make the jump. And then obviously him and Rock had that whole thing about, you know, he's shitting on the Rock for jumping to Hollywood. Right. I mean, this put Cena on a whole other level than kind of like that. The mid 2000s WWE was, it's not the most memorable when people like have a memory. I mean, obviously if you're a kid maybe, but right. I mean, there's a reason why people reference the Attitude Era all the time, mm-hmm. right? At some point, we're going to reference this current era of wrestling all the time, just because there's so many options, right? I mean, we almost like to do a lot of mid-2000s WWE erasure, right? Like, we don't want to talk about the invasion angle. We don't want to do all that. I mean, look, this Cena stuff was. I remember I bought the Marine on DVD for my sister as a birthday gift.
Wow!
And my sister wasn't even a big. She was a wrestling, like a casual wrestling fan. She loved John Cena.
John Cena.
So I remember running over to Best Buy, spending all $15 on that DVD, and that was that. But I mean, and this was the beginning of Cena's acting career. Like, do you guys have a favorite John Cena movie?
I was gonna say it's more roles. Like I liked his work in Trainwreck, but I really think my favorite role of his is Peacemaker. He's done phenomenal work in with that character, both in the Suicide Squad movie and in the series.
Right. Brian, are you do you watch a lot of John Cena movies? Are you casual? Nothing jumps out.
I know I've seen at least one, but nothing jumps out as a favorite.
Okay. That's all right. I think I would also go Trainwreck because he was just so unexpectedly funny.
Yes. That was the key. It was the first time I think I'd seen him do that type of comedy. Yeah.
Right. It was not PG-13.
Right.
At all. He's obviously now, I just saw him in the trailer for Fast 10. You know, he's kind of filling that role. So maybe Fast 10 is going to be the new John Cena leader.
Have you seen the other, did you see the photos for the other film he's in?
No. What do we got?
He's shooting a film called Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was like, so he had some type of makeup on. I don't know if it was like mime stuff. Like he had like weird eyebrows, but he also had like a mini skirt and I think like thigh highs. And he's doing a lot in that film. It's another comedy one, but that looks like it'll be interesting.
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be elite. All right. All this John Cena talk has me in the mood to throw in some jorts. So, the guys, let's all do that. And while we do that, we're going to take a quick.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh, my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back. This is usually the point in the show where we welcome on a special guest, but there was a very, very special guest yesterday on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. Mm-hmm. A dashing guest, some might say. Our guy, Peter Rosenberg from Cheap Heat, chopped it up with the one, the only American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, for what was an incredible, incredible 50-minute or so conversation that you should, if you haven't already, please go check that out after you listen to this. But I know all three of us listened to it, and we wanted to have a quick, but also a long, I'd say overdue, Cody Rhodes discussion. So I'll start here. Brian, I'm going to you first. What are your feelings as of today, Wednesday, February 15th, on Cody Rhodes as a whole?
I like Cody more than I thought I would when I first saw him. If you asked me back then, I would have said, I thought Ted DiBiase Jr. was going to be the guy.
Whoa. But, yeah, you saw the Marine too then.
You know, I just thought, I just liked his look better. I hated that Cody didn't wear knee pads. But looking at him now.
I respect that. I'm the same way, Brian H. Waters.
The nitpickiness. That's
Yeah. But I like Cody a lot. I'm just not ready for the Tribal Chief's reign to end. So,
oh, okay. That's still throwing up the ones, huh? Okay.
Yeah, I'm still throwing up the ones. So if you painted a picture where Cody doesn't win at WrestleMania and then he has to go a whole nother year, I can deal with that.
Wow. Okay.
That's funny.
All right. That's a good starting point. Cal, what are your feelings on the artist formerly known as Stardust?
I whenever Cody Rhodes is in the ring, I'm like, yes. When he's talking.
Yeah.
Like when he's in the ring with Paul Heyman, when he was in the ring with Sami Zayn on Monday, I'm like, I like the way he's able to seamlessly insert himself into what's going on. And it's always, because even with Rosenberg, shouts to Rosenberg, it was a great conversation, by the way. Cody's conversation remains the same. It's the end goal is to get the title that my daddy wasn't able to get. And I love that. I'm not 100% certain on what the match is going to be with Roman and Cody. I pray that it is as epic as it can be, especially if it turns into a situation where Cody has to fell the giant. But I've seen a lot of Cody, especially, you know, since he left WWE, you know, years ago, and I've not been 100% on his matches, like specifically the matches. So I feel there's a little bit I want to see. I would love to see him mix it up more in the ring in the next month or so to kind of, you know, get prepared for that stuff. I'd love to see that on TV and see, you know, I hate to be like a market improvement because who the hell am I? But for what I'm looking for in these matches, sure. You know, I don't feel that Cody is where I like to see people in that position yet. But let that man talk me into it because he is a great promo. Yeah, he's phenomenal with all of his in-ring promo work so far.
The last two promos he's done on Raw, I mean, obviously they've included somebody else. Obviously, Heyman and Sami Zayn have been freaking incredible.
Right.
I mean, for all the, I don't know, is this too much crowd? The last two promos might have done exactly what you wanted them to do. I mean, there's still a lot more to go, but something you touched on there, Cal, was, you know, what would this match against Roman look like? Cody also welcomed the idea of a triple threat, right? With Sami, including Sami at WrestleMania. Where are we interested in that story? I think Cody acknowledging that Sami Zayn is on fire and not, you know, just kind of pushing it to the side that this dude potentially is taking some of his love. I kind of enjoy it. So, you know, I know in previous WrestleManias during kind of the Vince era, he wasn't a big fan of a triple threat in the main event. Obviously at 35, they did it with Becky, Ronda and Charlotte. But would you guys want to see this triple threat at 39? Night two, maybe?
Only if Roman's winning.
Oh.
Or there's a scenario where it's like WrestleMania 2000. For the Intercontinental Championship and the European Championship, where it's two falls, one for each title, and you're splitting the title to get Cody the WWE Championship. That's the only way. We saw this at WrestleMania 37 already, with Roman pinning her and stacking him. So that story's already been told.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be kind of a way to protect Roman if you did take the title off of him, where Cody pins Sami.
Right.
Or
right.
Even Sami pins Cody. But yeah. I don't want to see a triple threat unless Roman's winning.
I mean, Monday night, you could have talked me into a triple threat easily. Because it just feels like Cody, I think I tweeted both. Like, I can't tell if Cody's working an angle on everybody. Because, like, he's really, the conversations he's having are very interesting when it, like, went specifically person to person. But it could be a very easy way to build the bloodline and I guess you could say the future of what's going on in the main roster in one match. It makes sense. I mean, another thing I've heard people say is defending one title on each night, you know,
right.
Maybe have the Sami match for the SmackDown title on the Saturday and then the Cody match, or, you know, if Cody's going to go over, have that on the Sunday night and send people home with that for the future. Roman still has a title. He's still dominant on the show that he's been dominant on, but now you have Cody with the legacy fulfilled. And really the question that I think, you know, I have is where does he go after, you know, fulfilling this destiny and getting a title that his daddy didn't have?
Right. Right. I mean, again, he had a great, great conversation with Rosenberg, I thought. And I mean, he touched on a lot of things and in that conversation, I mean, was there anything that stood out to you? Because obviously he's talked a lot, whether that be in the ring or, you know, kind of doing other appearances. But I thought he really got into the weeds there with Peter. Was there a big takeaway from the chat with Rosenberg that really stood out to you guys?
I like the conversation where about of him finding out that the story of Vince wanting to make Dusty before making Hogan was true. I like that conversation, that thought, oh yeah, this is that my dad's just, you know, telling stories or whatever. And then to hear it from, you know, the horse's mouth, because I don't know, not, I've always associated, I know Dusty had wrestled in the North before, you know, and he was Dusty Rhodes, so it's always going to be, you know, a fan favorite event. But I always looked at him as a NWA guy, even when he was in when I started getting into pro wrestling and watching stuff down there, like the Dusty Rhodes style, especially with the finishes and everything, were, you know, exactly what was there. So I've never actually thought about or considered a Dusty Rhodes being in that position, there wouldn't have been a Rock and Wrestling. You know, it would have been, who knows if it would have been just, you know, more of the Southern style, you know, creeping into the North. Like, it would have been a totally different timeline. But hearing that conversation was fascinating to me, just because it sends my brain into a couple of different areas.
Man, for me, it was the love he had for his brother. Mm-hmm. And you never hear really him talk about the fact that, like, his brother was his favorite wrestler. And that right there really stood out to me, because, like, I've heard Cody Rhodes interview after interview. Like, you know, David Shoemaker was the first person to interview him after the WrestleMania match. Mm-hmm. Then he went on this crazy media tour. And did I listen to everything? No, but that was the thing that I hadn't heard before, was the fact that he said, you know, we always hear that Triple H is his favorite wrestler, but I didn't know that Dustin Rhodes was his favorite wrestler also.
Yeah. I mean, that was really cool to hear. And, you know, I always see stylistically, he's more athletic than Dustin, but there's similarities, right? The simple, the drop down, the slap up.
It's
those things like that. Like, obviously, you know, that's a whole family thing. Mm-hmm. That was cool to hear. I mean, the part that stood out to me was when Peter straight up asked him, you know, for the portion of the audience who is a little, not upset, but they're questioning whether it was the right call to announce him returning at the Rumble, then getting drawn number 30 and then winning the Rumble. You know, Peter referred to it as kind of the trifecta. Mm. And, you know, to Cody's credit, he didn't shy away from it. He called it calling his shot, right? For, you know, fulfilling his destiny, completing his story, all the stuff that they're saying on TV. And, you know, I was admittedly part of that crowd and still sort of am, in that I would have loved to for him to at least been a surprise or put him in at 26. It's such a big difference than 30, because we knew he was going to win anyway. But so when I saw him the last couple weeks, you're waiting for that lukewarm response from the crowd, especially this past Monday in Brooklyn, right? Like, that crowd will tell you some stuff about who you are and who that person is. This is a pretty incredible reaction, incredible pop for Cody Rhodes. And that was with Sammy calling him out. So Sammy gets a massive pop, right? With a surprise. And then he calls out Cody. Incredible pop. Like, that crowd is all about him. And look, all I get it. All the, you know, the smart marks out there may be kind of over it, but I think the casuals, if you will, the mainstream WWE audience is still all about Cody Rhodes. I mean, they're doing a great job packaging him for the majority, right? Mm-hmm. Almost in that Cena style, right, where it's a little over the top, but it's going to get through to the majority. And look, at some point, it might turn. The tides might turn, and we might go full Bron Breakker on this dude. but I don't think that's going to happen until me. I think even the smart wrestling, for the smart mark wrestling fans out there, I think we are so locked in on what this dude did outside of WWE. Right? How he improved his stock. Improved who he is as a wrestler outside and then came back. I don't know, man. That I feel like he deserves some credit for that, going to all these other avenues, starting up the literal rival of this company.
Yeah. Right.
And making the, he talks about this too in a lot of his interviews, improving the sport as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. Improving the health of the sport as a right. whole, giving alternative routes for people. So that's why I'm all in on Cody. And I love everything Roman's done, the bloodline. If he's the one to dethrone them,
they said he couldn't make it work.
Yeah,
yeah. they literally said that. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the most successful. The A&E docs about this Cody Rhodes run in 10, 20 years are going to be fascinating.
I was thinking about that when you were talking about him talking about what's going on right now, because like we're so in the middle, like. He just left AEW. Like it's right. not like we're 4 or 5 years removed. That was very recent, and he does so much media. But you can only say so much. He kept talking to Rosenberg about the doc that they were working on. He was right. executive producing about the
fit. Dusty?
I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see 10 years down the line. The Cody Rhodes reflecting conversation of what's going yep. on right now, because Absolutely. It's like he's very well, or he's very well trained when it comes to how to speak in interviews. He's very good at all of that stuff. He gives you enough, but not too much. When he's out of all of this and can really give you the hindsight being 2020, and I've examined it from all angles after living it, and that conversation is gonna be really interesting too. The after. When you realize your dream, you come that close to touch the sun, and you get to touch it.
Right.
What came after that? And his content, his thoughts about it. I don't know. He's a fascinating person to sit and listen to. When the way his brain works around certain things, at the very least, I feel comforted in the fact that you can tell that he's not a Nepo baby. He may, some yeah. people may think he's a Nepo baby, but you can tell that he's definitely invested in pro wrestling. He loves pro wrestling, and doing it for his father and achieving those goals are going to be the icing on the cake. But he was 15 just trying to run the ropes and take some bumps. Like yeah. he it feels like he's just wanted to be in this for so long.
Right, right, right. Well, again, please check out that full conversation on Cheap Heat. Peter Rosenberg, Cody Rhodes. It's well worth your time. Before we get out of here, let's hit on last night's NXT, and we're going to take a look at tonight's upcoming Dynamite. So, Cal, kick things off for us. What was your biggest NXT takeaway?
I honestly like seeing Axiom fight. I can't wait for the day when love it, get all the work you can in down there, when I get to see Axiom starting to bump into people like Ricochet and things like that on the main roster on a regular basis, I'm gonna be so excited. So yeah, seeing him work every week is good.
There we go. Brian, what do you have?
JC Jane, I thought going in last night's show, it was sink or swim for her, especially after that epic turn. Hey, y'all heard what she did there when she said hey, Jannetty, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Gigi.
Yes.
She little stuff did. Like that. I'm so
loved it. Yeah. I'm always down for a good Rockers breakup reference. I mean, we referred to it last week when we kind of talked about that whole segment. Mine was just really, I'm into the gender brawn thing a little bit. I just don't know why we're delaying the buildup of Carmelo and Braun. Carmelo and Braun deserve all the time to tell this story until Mania weekend. So
I was going to say, I was going to say, why wait? I will say though, I love how enthusiastic Brian H. Waters is about Miss Jane. I need a couple more weeks maybe to see this. The Jannetty thing was good. Some parts were hitting a little annoying for me.
Okay.
I was actually kind of surprised. I think people talked me into thinking that they were going to have Gigi on this week. I understand why. She already showed her face. I thought she was going to go out there and sell it and get the sympathy, but I'm anticipating her going out. JC, maybe give JC a couple more weeks to get really annoying, and then give me that pop for Gigi going out there and just stomping
there you
a
go.
Hole in it.
There it is, right there.
There you go.
There it is. Let's take a quick look at tonight's Dynamite. What's the one thing you're looking forward to most, Brian? Start off with
Adam Cole. I want to see what he got to say, what he want to do. I am an Adam Cole fan. I was upset that he left WWE because Adam Cole was somebody that I said 10 years ago can main event WrestleMania. I still believe that. I still believe he'll come home one day. But I'm excited to see. I want to see him with the AEW strap.
There you go.
Oh, Cal, what do you have?
I'm not excited for this match at all. But at the end of last week's show, everybody was so upset about the Guns taking the titles from the Acclaimed.
Right.
And this week when I watched, the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn are teaming with Orange Cassidy against Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, and Sanjay Dutt. First off, I'm Jeff Jarrett being in that match. I'm props to him because this is very recent.
Right.
I feel like either Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed are going to get into some static, or the Guns are going to come out there. I'm interested in seeing this tag team feud build only because I think people got so anti the Guns so quickly, in a fashion that looked just like the way they were anti the Acclaimed before the Acclaimed really got cooking with these titles. So we'll see what happens, but I would not be surprised if that particular match heats that storyline up. What about you, Ben?
I also have Adam Cole, his interview with Renee Paquette. I'm an Adam Cole stan, and dare I say his run in AEW so far has been, at best, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
As a stand, I would say it's malpractice the way he's been used, but that might be hyperbole. So, and I fully admit that, but I'm excited to see what he talks about. And like Brian, I can't wait for this dude to come home. Welcome, Adam, come on over.
Damn.
You know, it's we're waiting, and bring Claudio with you so we can.
Y'all are waiting.
We are waiting, so we can reunite the party on WWE up down channels.
Facts.
Guys, that is how you do Wednesday. Be sure to check out our other Ringer Wrestling Show offerings, because we are coming to you every single day of the week. We've got the Masked Man Show with David Shoemaker and Kaz on Mondays and Thursdays. We've got Cheap Heat on Tuesdays and Fridays with Peter Rosenberg and Stat Guy Greg. And you'll find Wednesday Worldwide! Smack dab in the middle on, of course, Wednesdays. If you're not already, be sure to follow us, subscribe, and hit us with those 5-star ratings here on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. Cal, Brian, enjoy all of the freaking wrestling that's happening this weekend. Everyone else, we will catch you next week.
Worldwide!